So I don't know if you all can hear that bird chirping in the background. That's my newborn flock. That a different bird chirps at the top of every hour.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. So Lisa says her speakers aren't working. She's trying to get on via another computer. The camera's working. I do have to say, Mark, that's a pretty cool background you have on your computer. I don't know what it is. It looks kind of a space age or. You're muted.
I picked it because I thought it was less space agey and more like, you know, someplace like rural or semi-urban France. But I guess I was.
That's pretty space agey. It's kind of cool.
Well, on Zoom, one of my favorite backgrounds is the bridge of the NCC 1701D.
Which is what?
The Galaxy class.
Oh.
The Galaxy class Enterprise.
Star Trek. So it looks like Alicia is frozen. Thank you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now, Alicia.
Sorry, my other computer speaker died for some reason. Okay, are we ready to start? I apologize.
Yeah, well, we have two computers.
Yes, I have a backup old one that. Okay. Welcome, everyone, and I'm calling this meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Okay. Commissioner Lieberman?
Here.
Commissioner Albert?
Here.
Commissioner Audi? Commissioner Audi? Looks like he's frozen now. Well, I see him, although now I don't.
Can we move on?
I think we can move on. Commissioner Gary?
Here.
Okay.
Thank you. Can you please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all.
Moving on to public comment. Do you have any public comment that we know of?
We have not received any requests from anybody to make a public comment. I do want to just point out if somebody's on and needs to turn on live captions, the instructions to do so are on the screen right now. And I don't hear anyone or see anybody raising their hand to give a public comment. So
thank you. Then if there are no public comments, we'll move to safety moments and report.
Yeah, today's safety moment has to do with space heaters. And this is the compliments of a member of the public, Mr. Jim Lewis. He sent this over to us, and it's very timely because the weather's getting colder. So if you need to use a space heater, there are some really good tips on what to do and not do if you're using them. And I'll leave it at that.
Moving on to the manager's report.
Yes, let's see. George says he's fading in and out, so I don't know what that means. I don't know if George is on, but if your computer's not working, we can also call in to the meeting. So for manager's report, I wanted to start out by saying congratulations to George and Alicia on your election results. Very good news. We continue to be COVID-free here, which is great. Most of all, our immediate staff and our construction workers. So that's really good news, especially given how crazy it's getting out here right now. I wanted to note that next month's meeting is a week early, December 14th. So reminder on that. And then next month also we will be putting out the proposed commission meeting calendar for 2021. And if there's any changes that any commissioners would like to see, please let me and Jessica know. And finally, I want to just call on Matt real quick. He wants to give a little bit of info on the Lithia refi status. Matt?
Sure. Thank you. As I think you will all recall, in September, the commission was asked to authorize us to approach the EPA and begin the interest reset process. This was a one-time allowance in our contract because we had not yet drawn down on that money, that we were able to take advantage of the interest rates declining since originally being signed in July. Those discussions started right afterwards. We also, thanks to all of your staff, have approved this item through each council and board. And I'm happy to say that tomorrow we are anticipating closing on the loan somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.4%, which will save about $1.7 million annually to the members for an NPV of about $38 million. So we're very happy with this. It's an administrative task, but one worth doing for the last 2 months. And hopefully tomorrow we'll send out some confirmation good news on that. So thanks for everyone's support.
Great news. Thank you. Any questions or comments by colleagues?
Alicia, hi. May I, through the chair?
Yes.
Thank you. Matt, that's great news. Congratulations. Thank you for all your hard work. May I ask a quick question on the financial report, 5C? Or are we not? I think we're there, but maybe not.
We're moving on to that one.
Ah, okay. Then I'll hold on. Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Item 5C. Matt, I think you're on.
Yeah, I don't have anything else on 5B, so we can move into 5C.
Thank right. you. Is there any way you can make the numbers bigger? I don't know if it's my computer, but this is an older one.
Yes, so item 5C is the monthly investment report, and if there are any questions, happy to answer.
Through the chair?
Yes.
Thank you. Matt, it's a very minor dollar amounts, but it caught my eye because of the change. The money market fund on the second price report where it says it's down 97%.
Okay, yes. I'm sorry, I'm just looking for that 97%.
It's on the next page from the one that's showing on the
screen. Oh, okay, thank you. I think this is to do... That's right. So what is happening here is, if you recall, some of the money from the CIP reserve was allowed to mature and create some liquidity so that we could pay for an effluent emergency repair. So that money was there, and then we drew it down. So that's why you see that precipitous drop.
Got it. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Any other questions? Now we'll move on to item D, Engineering Capital Projects Report.
Hi. No comments, and I can answer questions. Darn.
Questions on item 5D? If not, we'll move on to commission-related requested staff-level action items.
Yeah, there's nothing on the report that I want to point out, and I can answer any questions if there are any.
All right, then item F, Rescue Program Design Build Project Status Update.
Yes. So I do have a item that I want to bring to discuss a little bit. Jessica, if you can scroll down to, I'll tell you when to stop, Gravity Pipeline Project, that one, and then the next sheet down. Potential issues. One of the items that we have listed newly under potential issues is in the construction of the shaft at the San Carlos pump station site. We have encountered ammonia and cyanide in levels that were unexpected. They don't reach the level of hazardous waste, but they are contaminants in the soil and the water that we're pulling out of the ground in that location. So it's something that we are monitoring closely, and it's increasing our costs a bit for the disposal of the water and the soil in that location. But it's so it's something that we can continue to update you on, but it's kind of an odd and unexpected discovery in that location.
Just a quick question, if I may, on that one. Any Kim, do you have any insight into what the source is or what's behind that?
We don't. I mean, there was an underground diesel tank in that location. It's the location of the old San Carlos treatment plant. So, but it doesn't seem like diesel, you know, the degradation of diesel would cause these contaminants. So it's a bit of a puzzle. We're not sure why. We can't really point to any definitive thing.
Okay.
through the chair.
Yes.
So, sort of as a follow-on to that, and you mentioned, Kim, that it is impacting our cost structure a little bit. Do you foresee at this point any risk to or significant risk to the timeline for the project?
At this point, no. We've had consultants come out, industrial health and safety consultants come out and make sure that the contractor has the procedures for how to handle the material and handle, you know, kind of what PPE is needed depending on what level of contamination there is. And at this point, the contamination is pretty low. They are continuing to excavate, or they're continuing to build the walls of the shaft, to drill the walls of the shaft. So we don't expect a schedule impact.
Okay. Thank you. A follow-on question, but in a little bit of a different direction. And I completely understand you're saying that it's not risen to the level of being hazardous at this point, but there is a public perception issue around this, because a lot of people aren't, if they were to hear about it, wouldn't necessarily know about hazardous levels and everything else. They just know that cyanide is really bad. So have we spent any time considering that issue with, you know, our media consultants or whatnot to advise us on how we ought to manage the situation in terms of disclosure?
I can jump in, Kim. We have brought it up to our public relations people, and we're asking them to, you know, think about it, and so we can strategize on, our message.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. And again, I actually hope that it never comes on the radar, but it's one of those things that I've seen it happen before where it really is a minor problem, but it just, you know, people freak out about it. So you have to think about it ahead of time. I'm glad to see staff is doing that.
We definitely don't want to be flat-footed on this.
Right. Thank you.
Any other questions? Comments? Okay. Is that it for the rescue program design build updates?
That's all I had to report on.
Thank you, Kim. Okay, moving on to item 6, matters of commission members' interest. Are there any things you would like to share?
Through the chair, I have two quick items.
Yes.
First of all, I just want to echo Teresa's comment. Congratulations, George and Alicia, to your re-election. That's wonderful. I hope that you will both continue to serve on the JPA as well. And then also, if I understand correctly, Commissioner Olbert did not run for re-election to the San Carlos City Council, so I am guessing that this may be his last meeting. And if that is that?
Actually, through the chair, it was until Teresa reminded me this morning that our next meeting is a week early on the 14th. I actually come off the council the evening of the 14th. So we'll get to see each other one more time, Warren.
Excellent. So then I'm going to save my I'm going to save my very nice comments for that meeting.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Okay, then if there are no other comments, we'll move on to item 7. This is the consent calendar.
Right. So this is a short consent calendar. It's the minutes from our last meeting and then the acknowledgement of the warrant register being emailed out.
Okay. All right, can I get a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, Commissioner Lieberman is second. Commissioner Olbert, roll call, please.
Commissioner Lieberman?
Yes.
Commissioner Olbert?
Yes.
Commissioner Audie?
Yes.
Commissioner Aguirre?
Yes. Great. And now moving on to item 8. A, consideration of motion approving Rescue Gravity Pipeline Project.
Right, and Kim will give this presentation.
Thank you. So this is an item that we have talked about in a couple of different times in the past, but I just want to go over quickly the timeline of how we ended up in the situation where we are now. So this is the topic is muck disposal, and during the stage 2B contract development, the contractor got 3 quotes, and we used the lowest quote plus an allowance in the contract. That allowance amount is close to being used up, and that is because of the uncertainty that we experienced and some changes that occurred in the dirt market in the Bay Area over the last several months. The site that we had identified as the lowest quoted site had closed. Others were refusing the material based on changes in the limits that they were allowed to accept. But our team has continued to press to get lower costs for disposal. So we've been doing a few things. We renegotiated the we have been taking the muck to Tracy. That was much higher than what we had assumed in the contract. And at the same time, we've been aggressively pursuing other options. If you can go to the next slide, Jessica. So we have negotiated an agreement with the Bayland site up in Brisbane. At the same time, and because we were successfully negotiating with other parties, we were able to negotiate a lower price with that site in Tracy where we had been sending the muck. And we're also actively pursuing other sites. Next slide, Jessica. I wanted to touch a little bit on the site that we talked about a couple months ago in the commission meeting. This is the South Bay Salt Pond Restoration Project. We are continuing to keep that on the list as a backup location. One thing that came up very late in the negotiation process with the folks is that we would need to do a lot of upfront work and handling of, we knew we were going to have to do a lot of handling of the soil on the site rather than just dumping it on the site and walking or driving away. We would need to be kind of moving it around the site a bit. One thing that came up late was that if we wanted to deliver muck during the wet weather season, which is, you know, starting now, we would need to do a couple million dollars worth of work in order to prep that site because they usually only accept soil during the dry weather season. So that made it, that made the cost on a per load basis go up and become a little bit, go up significantly and a bit more uncertainty about that site. So it's still on the list, but it kind of came down in its favorability as the lowest cost site. Next slide, Jessica. Thanks. So in the commission report, the way that we have determined the size of this change order that we're requesting at this point is lots of scenarios. The first, you know, the most expensive scenario being we have to send it to all of the soil to the landfill. And then the various scenarios of a certain percentage goes to this place, a certain percentage goes to this place. And so what we've done is based the contract cost on what we think at this point is the most likely scenario, which is the majority disposed of at the Brisbane site, the Bayland site up in Brisbane, and then 22,000 cubic yards still heading out to Tracy at the Green Rock site. So the recommendation is to approve the contract change order, and I can take any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions from commissioners?
Yes, through the chair.
Commissioner Elwood.
Thank you, Alicia. Thank you, Kim. An interesting problem, and I'm glad that I'm sorry we're dealing with it, but I'm glad that you're doing as thorough a job on it. Two questions. One is, are we valuing, well, I'm going to call kind of surety of being of these vendors being able to accept our loads as high as perhaps we ought to. I got the sense in reading the staff report that right there's a significant focus on doing this at the lowest cost, but at some point, because this is a critical path item, it could mess up a lot of other things if we can't actually get the stuff delivered. So I'm just wondering, are we comfortable that we're having the right mix there, and might it be appropriate to expend a little bit more money just to have the assurance that we're going to not get messed up down the road?
We have, we have included a fair amount of contingency, we think, in that amount. And yeah, I mean, it's a matter of risk, right? And a matter of trying to gauge where we are. I mean, we know that we have sites that we can take it to on any day. You know, if on any day a site says, no, thank you, we've got other options, that's always a more expensive option, if, you know, when that happens. We think we've got a pretty good mix in developing that cost, mix of the expensive options if we need to go there and the less expensive options that we expect to be able to continue to take the muck.
Okay, so if I can echo that back, it sounds like we're very assured that, albeit at a significantly higher cost like the Tracy option, if push comes to shove, there is a place we can send this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not going to shut or delay the project. Yeah. Okay. The reason I ask is just because when I was the CFO of a struggling biotech company, I had an interesting dance where, you know, I'd sort of be deaf on people wasting money, but then there'd be other times I'd yell at people for not spending enough money because we need to get things, certain things have to happen. So my second question, which is a little bit more generic, and so maybe a Teresa question, given some of these changes that are, you know, not under our control that are affecting our plans, have we done a high-level review of sort of potential critical path issues on the project that were like, oh, we didn't anticipate that disposing of muck was going to be a problem, and now it is? You know, are we looking forward to seeing if we can identify some additional things like that that we might need to start worrying about ahead of time?
Yeah, we have, I can take, Teresa can jump in if you want. We do have the risk register for each project, and we've talked about the risk register before. They're continuously updating those, continuously reviewing them, making sure that we are identifying the risks and mitigating them, you know, as we identify them. And we are also, you know, kind of, we are forward looking in all of our project meetings and looking forward at, you know, what may possibly come up in the future. So.
Okay. Thank you. And I apologize. I didn't mean to imply that you couldn't answer the question, because you obviously did. I just assumed it would.
No worries.
Question.
No problem.
Yeah, you know, I do want to support what Kim's saying. So Kim is the owner's representative on the on rescue, so she oversees the entire program. And you know, I get reports from her often, but the way that they're going through looking ahead and looking at risks and maintaining that risk register is puts a lot of support into how we're moving forward with this to make sure we don't get, you know, caught off guard with anything.
Good. I'm glad to hear.
You know, something won't come up like cyanide pneumonia, but for those
things, not on the risk register.
I am glad, very glad to hear that. I'm not surprised, but I'm very glad to hear that. And, you know, besides, Matt just went off and saved all this money, so it's time to spend it someplace.
Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
George?
Yes.
Kim, I thought I saw a note somewhere about some heavy metals, water quality, or the quality of the dirt issues. Are they going to complicate what we're doing?
So we did, and so this is not part of the, yes, the tunneling itself is not, the soils that it's encountering are fine. You know, the tunnel boring machine as it's going. Where we have experienced, found some contaminants is in the construction of the shaft at the San Carlos pump station location. So that's the volume of soil in that location versus the volume of soil in the entire tunnel is pretty small. So we will have some higher disposal costs associated with San Carlos shaft. But we expect that, you know, the contingency that we're, that is included in this change order will be able to accommodate that.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Another question?
Thank you, through the chair. I do have one.
Yes.
Thank you. And this is kind of another take on Commissioner Olbert's question. Kim, clearly we have far more muck to dispose of than the 22,000 tons that we've, or trucks that we've committed to Green Rock. If we were to commit more than that, have you checked on, could we get a lower negotiated price if we were to commit 30, 40, 50,000? Just want to know what the play there is.
Yes, we're definitely continuously talking to them. They are still higher on a per truck basis than the closer location, and that's not their, that's the trucking cost to get it out to Tracy. Yep. So that part really, there's not a lot of margin in there to negotiate. We're certainly, we haven't, we'll, as conditions change and the ability to negotiate arises, we'll continue to talk to them because they are the site that is consistently able to take the muck.
Yeah, that's great. And again, it's just a question of the risk, the assurance.
Right.
And to the extent that they're willing to grant the lower price on all of the trucks, the loads we deliver, you know, bringing that $700 cost down to whether it's $675 or whatever,
right.
If they extend it to the first 22,000 also helps a lot as well.
Definitely.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is very interesting to me. So, you know, sitting on SBWMA, we're always looking at places to dispose of our garbage and recycling. So this is, I know muck is different. You have to put it on the water or the blend type of, blanking on the correct name. But sometimes one of the things that we're looking at is the cost of trucking it to a place like Tracy versus finding the that are expensive, but then you add in the trucks and all of the cost of maintaining them and then the gas and the mileage and all that other stuff. Have we looked at all those things as well?
We have, and one difference between I think what SBWMA does and what we do is we are negotiating the cost that we're negotiating is the all-in cost, including the trucking. It's the dirt brokers that we are talking to include the trucking and the disposal into a single per truck cost for us, as opposed to us you know, doing those calculations and having separate agreements with the trucking company and the disposal site. It's a single agreement and a single dollar amount.
So it's all together.
Yeah, all together, right, exactly.
Bundled in that. So yeah, my other question is, a lot of sites that you're looking at in SBW mode are getting to the point of filling up like Oxygen. Mm-hmm. Is that the case, the same? Are there places that in the future we can no longer because it's done, or is it a different process?
Yeah, there are certainly sites that open and, you know, one, this in this case, it's not just landfills that we're looking at. It's, you know, development projects and you know, certainly the, as a project reaches, they get their dirt up to the elevation that they need it, they're not going to take any of our muck anymore. So that's kind of what makes everything so unpredictable, is projects are opening and closing and starting and stopping all the time, and finding the lowest cost place to send the muck is kind of a constant process we're finding.
Right. Thank you. Okay, moving on. Oh, we do need to approve item 2. Is that correct?
It hasn't been voted.
Through the chair, I move approval of item 8A.
Okay. Do you have a second?
Seconded.
You're on mute, Teresa.
Thank you, Tim. I'd like to clarify that this is item 8A. So I'll do roll call. Commissioner Lieberman?
Yes.
Commissioner Albert?
Yes.
Commissioner Audie?
Yes.
Commissioner Aguirre?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Item 8, consideration of resolution authorizing the execution and delivery of construction installment sale agreement loan with the State Water Resources Control Board related to SBW Capital Improvement Program.
Right, and this is Matt's item, so he'll speak to this.
Hey. Thank you. So the SRF loan in front of us today is something that the commission approved us to apply for in August of 2016. So 4 years ago, this was started, and we've continued to have these long discussions with the state. At first, it was, they didn't have enough money. You know, this program has been oversubscribed for years. And then in 2018, they came forward and said, well, we could partially fund it. And so that's when our conversations started getting more traction. State went through a new finance system implementation, so they disappeared for a while. And then after that, we again picked this up. So the 4 years have been very active, albeit slow. But I'm happy to say we are now at the finish line. This is a $169 million loan. And, you know, big thanks to Kim and engineering and Fieldman Rolap and our bond council, because this has been a very large effort from a lot of people to get this to where we are. As you'll see on the slide in front of us, what it does do is it continues to significantly reduce our borrowing costs. So back in 2016, our remaining funding was looking like it was going to cost 4.8% on average, weighted average. And then that continued to get better as rates have declined and as this SRF program and the WIFIA program have become available. So right now, all the way to the right, you'll see the borrowing costs of new money, around $500 million, is still 1.5%. So remarkably low numbers that I didn't think, frankly, would be achievable, but they are. The slide following is the projected sources of funding. And on this slide, you'll see we have a certain amount of money left from our 2018 bonds, from the WIFIA program. And then the bolded line is what we're approving today, $169 million at 0.9%. This summer, next summer, 2021, we anticipate picking up the bulk of the remaining spending from the WIFIA, through the WIFIA program. So at that point, we will largely have funded the CIP. And I think this is a big, you know, milestone. This SRF loan is a very big milestone for this, because as you'll see, it's the biggest and largest piece of what we have left. So today's discussions will cover, on the next slide, a couple of things. We have concluded negotiations. There's some key terms that we usually pursue and we do get from the SRF loan that makes it very attractive. Not the least of which is the 0.9% that is being offered at the moment. We can borrow as needed. It's like a construction loan. You draw it down, you incur interest only on that drawdown, and you do not begin to repay the loan until 1 year after the construction is complete. So those are very nice features to the SRF loan. The green items are new, and that's as the State Water Board was considering this application, we really got tangled up on these issues that for them were kind of realizations in terms of how we operate, who we are, how we are, how our credit works. So there's a couple of things that they've inserted in here. One is that they will require that outstanding bonds be at parity with their loan. Right now they are subordinate to our bonds and they do not like that position. So they've requested or required that we refund those outstanding bonds. And that's the next item that we'll consider from this. The date on that is for two of the issuances by the end of by July 30th, 2022. And then the 2018 bonds could go until 2028 at their maturity date. We were able to negotiate that. They also included a clause that is prohibiting prepayment without their authorization. And that's typically something we do not like either. We're pursuing a separate path on that to allow for some defeasement options if the state is amenable to that. But in this one, they were very insistent. They would not approve it without this language. So that is something that all of our members had to consider carefully when we were bringing this to them. The next slide speaks to a couple of the things that we did manage to improve. We did, you know, like I said, those deadlines for refunding outstanding bonds. At first, it was immediate. We were able to get some deferral in those values, particularly the 2018 series. That second bullet speaks to the maximum annual debt service as a way to measure coverage. And if that had not been changed, it would have accelerated the pace of rate increases for members. So we were very insistent on that. And the third one is the use of unencumbered funds. How much cash or surplus does a member have? Can they use that when they're calculating their coverage ratios? At first, the state said no, but later they agreed to not have that in there. We can use those, and members will not have to raise rates as high as they otherwise would have because of that language. So projected interest rate savings on this slide, comparing it to January of 2020, about a year ago, we thought this loan would be priced at about 1.9%. Interest rates have declined, taking full advantage of that. And you'll see on this table, those savings involved from the 1.9 to now 0.9 are significant. It saves us over $1 million a year in total. But the nominal savings over the 30 years of repayment is $35 million. And the NPV present value on that is $22.8 million. So good savings to the members. This goes directly into the fees, the rate structures, and helps us with our cash flows going forward. So with that, the recommended item today is to allow SVCW to close this loan. The target date for this close is mid-December. We have gotten all of the documentation we need from the members, including revisions to their financing agreements. And we have explained this a couple of times to throughout the past 4 or 5 months. As negotiations are going, we've explained and talked through these terms with the members, staff from finance and public works. So if there are any other questions, I'm available. I also have on the phone Field Monroe Lapp, our financial advisor, and Doug Brown from Straddling. Bond counsel is also available.
Hey, thank you. Any questions?
Yes, through the chair.
Yes.
Thank you. Matt, I apologize for perhaps not bringing this up before, because, and I'm actually hoping I'm just misunderstanding something. But as you were going through the presentation and after reading the staff report, the impression I came away with is the refunding requirements that the state is requiring us to accept is that setting us up in a situation where basically the quid pro quo is, hey, here's a huge chunk of very cheap money, which you'll get to benefit from for a long time. But by the way, you are entering into an obligation to refund some money under terms currently uncertain in this some period of time. And hey, if the financial markets go to hell in a handbasket and interest rates are 20% when you have to refund, too bad for you.
Right. Sure, sure. No, that is, I should have clarified that. I'm looking at my notes now, but I didn't mention this. They said it should be, so the discussion at first was refund everything right away. And after explaining that to them how that wouldn't work, they did agree that we could use some language in the agreement that says when economically feasible. So they won't require us to refund if we're upside down in a loan, for example. But that term economically feasible right now, if we were to look at this, and we'll see that in the next item, is that currently the 2014s and 2015s, even on a taxable refunding basis, it's advantageous to do this on a cash flow basis. We're going to save money. It's a question of how much money. Now, some would argue, well, we should wait. We should wait till the full maturity, because then the likelihood of saving even more money would be greater. But the state is not okay with that. They're saying it's economically feasible to do this now. We can demonstrate that, and they would argue that we should do it now.
Thank you. That's a fair. I mean, that last point is a fair point. But to me, that's sort of me personally. That's sort of a second order effect. It's like that. I don't mind giving up. It's being exposed to a risk. So, and I apologize for not remembering from the document itself. So does the language specifically say that if we're upside down or terms to that effect, we are not required to refund? So in other words, we could theoretically, transaction costs aside, we're only required to refund when it would be in our financial interest to do so.
That's how I understand it, is that it would be in our financial interest to do so after, cost of issuance and closing costs and all of that. And I'll ask Doug Brown to comment a little bit on this as well. I think he may have more color on that. So, Doug, if you're available.
Yeah, good morning. As Matt indicated, originally they were insisting that everything be refunded immediately, regardless of whether it was cost-effective or not. They did change that. The earlier deadline for refunding the 14s and 15s is reflective of the fact that the state believes it's cost effective to do that refunding now, and they would like it done, as soon as possible, because they don't want to run the risk that interest rates go up later and then it's not cost effective. So that's why the earlier deadline. The 2018, as Matt indicated, we put it off. They've agreed to put it off until 2028 when they're refundable with immediately with no penalty. But again, the language is there that it has to be cost effective. So that's something that'll have to be monitored by you and your staff between now and 2028.
Okay, thank you. And just to, I'm being a little bit, more focused on this, just because it's a lot of money and potentially a fairly significant thing. So you guys are both comfortable that the language is adequate to do what you described it doing. In other words, it's a little bit more than just your understanding. That's your strong belief.
I am. And I think and Doug can comment. I think Doug has made the comments before that, if we didn't, say something happened and we had some sort of standoff and we didn't refund these items, they wouldn't call it a default, but they would still frown on this, and there would still be some other, wouldn't allow us to go for more SRF funding and what have you. So there is some stick in the game for them.
Got it. Thank you. I appreciate the detail.
Any other questions?
Through the chair, I have just one question.
Yes, Commissioner.
Thank you. Matt, you kind of already alluded to this, but I just want to confirm the understanding, because on the bond covenants, all the member entities, I'm sure, have a variety of bonds that they have taken out outside of SVCW. The fact that I think the wording was that a member entity can't have bonds that are senior to these that are issued. I'm just confirming that that is not, you've already spoken with all of the staffs and that is not a problem. Is that right?
So we have, yes, so we have explained this to the staff, and I should be clear, this is any other sewer associated bonds. Specifically, this won't have any effect on non-sewer activities from the members.
Right.
But within their sewer funds, per se, the members understand that. And that is something that, you know, they took a lot of discussion items on. So I think unless you've heard otherwise, the members to me have confirmed their willingness to participate in this. It's a very good interest rate. And, you know, more focus, frankly, was not on so much on the parity issue, was on this ability to repay early, prepay it, because that's usually the flexibility that we like to have. I'd like to be able to prepay this. And right now the state is saying not without their authorized permission. They are verbally saying that they could authorize this, they could foresee authorizing it, but there's certainly no guarantee. So we're taking the skeptical approach on that and assuming we couldn't. Yeah. But also knowing that this is around 15% of our total debt portfolio with much higher borrowing costs and other sources, we would pursue restructuring those sources before we got to this cheapest source. So there is that pad, so to speak, that we're comfortable with.
Great. Thank you. That helps a lot. Thank
you. Any other questions?
Okay, Commissioner Lieberman?
Yes.
Wait, we need a motion.
I move approval of AP.
Okay, do you have a second?
Seconded.
Okay, thank you. All right.
I jumped again.
That's okay.
Yes, the audio today is a little bit out of whack, so yeah. I don't know if it's just my Wi-Fi or not. But
yeah, I'm hearing it, too. It is kind of out of whack. Yeah. Commissioner Olbert?
Yes.
Commissioner Audie?
Yes.
Commissioner Gary?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. That moves us on to item 8C, consideration of resolution authorizing Silicon Valley Clean Water to issue debt in the principal amount not to exceed $160 million and to approve related financing documents and all actions needed to bond issue.
This is the Matt show again.
Yes, so this is a segue from the last item. The only introductory remark I'll make on this one in addition is that there is no new debt associated with this item. This is simply a restructuring or refinancing of these outstanding debts. So as you'll see on the slide, the state is requiring the refunding of those two issuances, 2014s and 15s, by June 30, 2022. So 18 months from now, 19 months from now. The two 2018s, we will not have to focus on. Even on a taxable basis, as I mentioned earlier, this is still an economically feasible or attractive type of financing. On the next slide, you'll see some of the details that we're talking about is that the 2014s is about $53.8 million outstanding. 2015s have about $65 million outstanding. The coupon interest rates are in front of you. And that leads to when we look at the updated numbers on the following slide, an estimated savings of around $8.6 million net present value. Somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000 per year in debt service savings if we're to refund all outstanding bonds associated with these two issuances. There is breakdown. I'm sorry I didn't put the breakdown in this slide, but of that number, of the $8.5 million or so, Redwood City would have $4.5 million, San Carlos around $1.5 million, and West Bay would be $2.6 million. Belmont did not participate in these issuances, so they do not participate in this transaction. On the following slide, So J.P. Morgan was retained as our underwriter. If you recall, in October, the commission authorized us to have an RFP selected, went through that, had seven very, very good proposals, and opted to select J.P. Morgan on this for their experience and their creative thinking. And so there's a couple of things that this transaction may include. Naturally, the refunding of the 2014-15s, but there's also a tender or exchange option. It means if we can solicit people who are holding our bonds today, institutional holders and so on, and solicit them to exchange it for more tax-exempt securities at an agreed-upon interest rate, that saves us money in addition. That's additional savings was not reflected on the slide before us, before we just looked at, but it is an option that we're at least pursuing and considering. Another thing that J.P. Morgan identified was perhaps prepaying our original SRF loan from 2011. That loan was for the control building. The outstanding principal on that is around $8 million. It has an interest rate of 2.6%. We can do better than that by going out now and replacing that borrowing. So that would save a bit of money for the members as well. As we did with the other items in our entire debt structure discussions with the members, the staff from each of the members have reviewed this material. It is on their respective agendas. One is for Wednesday. West Bay has a Wednesday, November 18 session. And then Redwood City, San Carlos are scheduled for next Monday. We anticipate once this is closed, once audited financials are complete for fiscal year 2019-20, those will be put into the documents and we'll be able to make this sale in mid-January. And I believe that's all of the slides. And this is a request to authorize the issuance and sale of the 2021 wastewater revenue bonds.
Thank you, Matt. Commissioners, any questions, comments?
Yes, through the chair.
Yes, Commissioner.
Thank you. Matt, this is mostly sort of a pro forma question, but as I recall, we do have a window for some period of time during which we would we have to refinance these bonds, correct?
Yes, it's the June of 2022.
Right. I take it that the experts do not foresee interest rates being even more attractive a year from now than they are now.
Right. We've had those discussions on interest rate risk several times, and that crystal ball is cloudy. But, you know, it's right now interest rates have been actually rising slightly in the last couple of weeks since the election. The nice part about having J.P. Morgan as a negotiated settlement when we sell these bonds is that they can help kind of selectively identify a date that would work and take advantage of the dip in a market if there was one. But, you know, in terms of between now and June, anybody's guess. And the recommendations from everybody I talk to is, you know, lock it in now and let's pursue these savings as they are available to us.
It's. I mean, given the current environment and stuff, the bird in the hand argument is pretty powerful. What do our advisors think the issuance will actually go out at? I'm just curious.
So I'll probably ask Robert Poor from Fieldman Rolap to talk about that. It's available, and he can unmute himself. Robert, if you're there, and if not, maybe Laura.
Hi.
There he is.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Sorry. Okay. Good morning, commissioners. The anticipated interest rate at this point is fairly attractive. We're looking at a TIC of roughly 2.7%. So from a historical perspective, municipal taxable bonds, it's very attractive in this market, despite the recent trend of interest rates moving up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Any other questions? questions or concerns from commissioners? Now, can we get a motion to approve?
Move approval of item 8C.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Lieberman?
Yes.
Commissioner Audie?
Did we lose him?
I don't see his name on here.
Okay.
Commissioner Olbert?
Yes.
Commissioner Geary?
Yes. Thank you. Moving on to item 8B, consideration of resolution approving various amendments to SECW bylaw.
Through the chair.
Yes, Commissioner.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Do we have a quorum issue if George has been forced out by some technological issue?
I think it's four, right?
A debt-related item may. I'm sorry, Teresa, but does a debt-related item require more than just majority?
Yes.
Go ahead, Christine.
Sorry about that. I was trying to listen if George had actually responded, but it sounds like he didn't. And Commissioner Olbert, you raise a good issue or a good question. The JPA requires votes count doesn't specify debt related items, but for contracts or financing over, I think it's $50,000. It may fall within that. I think I would argue that this item falls within that requirement. Although Doug Brown, is there any, are you aware of any statutory requirements on voting on this item? Probably not, but I thought I'd throw it out there anywhere if you have any input. Maybe he's gone. Anyway, I would recommend 3/4 vote count on this. Is there a way?
Maybe we can just hold off until George is able to log back in.
I would recommend that.
Okay.
If we can.
Thank you. Through the chair, the other comment I was going to make is that if George hasn't logged in again already, it may take a few minutes. Could we maybe take a brief break for 5 minutes or something to give everybody time to get back together?
Can we do that? Do you think we should move on to item 18 and come back and vote? Or do you want us to, in general?
You know, George is the one that brought up the option of moving our, changing our bylaws to move the election date to January. So it'd probably be best for him to be on this conversation.
And also we need 3/4 vote count for the bylaws as well. So we need George.
Yeah. Wonder if somebody can give him a call just to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Could you do that? That would be great.
I will call him right now.
Okay, Alicia, I'm going to step away for a couple of minutes, but I will be back briefly shortly.
Thank you.
Hey, Christine.
Christine is muted.
I think so too, yeah.
I just sent George an email, text, and I called him on a cell phone. So we'll get a hold of him.
Thank you, Sergio.
soon somebody's going to show up on the door knocking.
The pigeon is next, but I'm waiting. I'm reserving.
Thanks.
Okay, so I have George on the phone. He's having difficulty calling in to the meeting. So if he can vote from here, that would be great.
Yes, let's just wait 1 second for Commissioner Ulbrich to get back on.
Okay. Christine, George. Since everybody else has already voted, can we just let George vote on 8C, which is the bond issue refund? Or do we have to do the roll call all over again?
No, I don't think we need to do the roll call over again. I would. George can vote on that since the motion's on the table and the voting began.
So, George, Mark made a motion for 8C and Warren seconded it, and everybody's done a roll call and everybody's voted aye. So how do you vote on this one?
I vote yes.
Okay, great. Right. Thank you.
And then just for the record, so you have that, had we not lost George for the moment, I certainly would have given him the option to second this item since Belmont was not participating in those bonds. So just want to make sure, George, I did not mean to usurp your authority on that one or desire.
Thank you. Are you back on?
Mark, are you back? And George, just for your info, Mark had to take a few minutes break. Yeah, that's odd. Yeah, it seems to be an odd day for technology.
I just came in at the tail end of that comment, Teresa, and I have learned the hard way that there really do seem to be odd days for technology. Some days things just don't work.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Commissioner Elford is back. We're going on to ICE.
Okay, so 8D is SBCW bylaws, and we included a marked up version of the bylaws. Primarily, they're very, what I think are simple and more just administrative changes, which is, you know, changing our name and reflecting how Minister, Secretary, et cetera. The one discussion point is related to when the commission chair and vice chair are elected and when the secretary is appointed. Currently in the bylaws, it designates July of each year. There is discussion this past July of do we want to change that to January to reflect when elections are held in the, you know, for the various member agencies. And so we'll open that up for discussion. Go either way.
Comments on that? I know we discussed it. Comments on that?
Through the chair, Alicia, if you could say that again, my audio cut out. I could not hear you at all.
We have discussed this in the past. It's something that we are ready to move on. Change it by instead of, I mean, January. We elect our chair and vice chair and so on. Any other comments? Do you agree with that? Or do you want to keep it to July?
Yeah.
Were you able to hear me? Are you able to hear me?
I think, Alicia, you're just saying that this is on the table. We had a past discussion.
Right.
Move it to January. And so is there any desire to move it or keep it to July?
Yeah. Through the chair, I will simply say, I think our current plan has worked well in the past. you know, if it's the will of the commission to change it to a different time, I'm fine with it, I suppose. But I don't see a particular need or necessarily even a benefit of moving it. I think there have been advantages towards having it at the time that we've had, quite frankly. But I'm fine if there's a strong desire to move it.
Through the chair.
Yes.
Thank you, Alicia. As Alicia said a few minutes ago, since part of the motivation for this came from George, if he's online or if somebody could refresh my memory about the arguments about why he was recommending we make these changes.
Yeah, I think George is ready to say something. George?
If I could chime in there, I thought it would be more convenient that I have no qualms with leaving it alone. It's okay with me. It's fine. I just was saving a step, and some reasons were brought up why that's leaving it alone is a good idea, and I'm more than willing to accept that.
Any other comments? So what are the pros and cons that do we need to discuss it in further, not for the pros? I know we have discussed it, if not. Am I hearing that we should leave it as is? I hear that from two commissioners.
That's what I'm hearing. It sounds like everybody's fine with keeping it as it is. I remember one of the pros to keeping it in July was that it gave people, if they came on in January, it gave somebody a few months to get, you know, used to and familiar with the functioning of the JPA, you know, in case they were the ones that were going to be elected to a position.
Okay. So,
through the chair.
Yes.
Through the chair, Alicia, if I'm just to add a little bit of substance to that. While there's certainly no requirement, in the past many years, the representative from Redwood City has always been the chair of the meeting. Again, Redwood City has the largest stake in the agency. It often just makes sense for the Redwood City representative to chair the sessions. So for me, the biggest advantage of having the July election of the chair is simply if the Redwood City representative has any reason to believe that come December or January, they're no longer going to be heading it up, whether it's for reasons of not wanting to or more likely reasons of not running for re-election and the representative is not going to be switched earlier. It gives the ability to have somebody else who is on the commission, I'll say, chair for a year until the Redwood City representative gets a few months under his or her belt and then just feels more comfortable chairing the sessions. I don't think it's a huge issue, but I think for me anyway, that's the reason why I think this makes sense is that it just makes it easier for the Redwood City. If Redwood City is going to change representatives at election, it makes it easier for that transition to occur, quite frankly.
Got it. I'm okay with that. If you want to just move forward, unless anybody else has any comments. Okay. Then are we ready to approve the new bylaws as amended? If so, can I get a motion?
I just have to note that George just dropped off the call now, the cell phone call, but maybe he'll call back.
Maybe while we're waiting for him, we could clarify
George came back on the computer. Great.
Well, before you vote, could we clarify that the motion is for a resolution to approve the bylaw amendments without the change to the month of election of officers and appointment of secretary. Is that what was decided or considered?
Yes, that was considered.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we'll take a motion and a second.
Okay, we'll take a motion on item 8D.
I will move item 8D with those changes noted.
Okay, Commissioner Lieberman, can I get a second?
Second.
Okay, is that Commissioner Otte or Obert?
That was Obert.
Okay, Obert, roll call, please.
Commissioner Lieberman?
Yes.
Commissioner Obert?
Yes.
Commissioner Otte? He typed in his vote yes, so I'll take that. And Commissioner Aguirre?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Okay. So this is going to be fun. We need to exit this meeting and join the closed session.
Is George available to speak right now? I'm a little concerned that typing his vote does not comply with the roll call vote requirements.
I do not know.
Okay.
George, are you available? Can you speak?
Is it possible to try to get him on the phone again? I don't know who made that call, but...
George called Jessica. When I tried to call George, there was no answer.
Okay.
I can try calling him.
That would be helpful. Thank you. But as long as we're all here, while we're waiting, maybe for the record, in the event we cannot get a hold of George, the record can reflect that he was present and participated in the motion.
So, George, I have George on the phone.
Thank you.
George, can you vote on the 8D item? George? Hello? George?
Christine, since we are talking about amending bylaws here, even though the amendments are not terribly significant, is there any shot clock on this? I mean, if we had to put this aside until the December meeting, could we do that?
Yes, you may do that.
I'm happy to wait till George can get back on the line. I just feel it's fairly important that we actually hear from him. And I also don't mind waiting on this item and postponing it to December if we have to do it to get the technology stuff to work. I mean, you know.
We could also come back to it after closed session.
That too, sure.
As well, but I agree with you and
I think I would like to try that because there is potentially impact to the EPA WIFIA loan that we're trying to close tomorrow.
That's right.
Okay.
That is right. We should try to get this at this meeting. I agree.
Great. So.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Like I said, this is going to be fun. So we do have closed session, and then we'll come back to this item, and hopefully George can get back onto the call.
Okay, so you want us to log into the closed session, correct?
That's correct. So for those folks that are in the closed session, you can hang up this call and then re-enter on the closed session Teams invite. Everybody else, you can feel free to hang out on this call.
Thank you. All right. We'll go to closed session.
Yep. See you soon.
Can anybody hear me?
I can hear you.
We can hear you.
So I vote yes on item 8D.
Great. Thank you.
And I just have a quick report out as to closed session item 9A. No reportable action was taken and direction was given to council.
Okay. Let's see. I don't see Alicia yet, and I think she needs to adjourn the meeting, right?
I see it, AA.
Do you?
I do see it. An AA.
Oh, no, I'm
Sergeant. Oh. We're not entitled to have double initials. That's not authorized.
By the way, Teresa, just as an aside, I mean, if there's some expenditure we need to make so that we get the technology to work more better next time, that would be awesome. I'd certainly support doing that.
Thank you, Mark. All right, it appears Elise is back on, so I think that we're going to adjourn the meeting, but Elise gets to do that.
Yeah, so do we have anything to report?
I didn't get all of that.
Christine, can you just report out again from closed
session? Sure. Yes, as to closed session, item 9A, no reportable action was taken and direction was given to council.
And we did get George's I vote on item 8D, so we're done with that.
Great.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for the patience.
Big relief.
Yeah. See you all later. Have a good
week. Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.